Good morning and welcome to Get Enlightened with me, Lauren Scott. I am so excited that y'all are here this week, and I'm so excited to catch up with my good friend Heather Buckley. Welcome to the show, Heather.
Thank you, and thank you for having me. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm so happy you're here.
Right. I'm thrilled to be here. Thank you.
So let's start with the intros. Throw out your socials. This is how you can get a hold of her on Facebook, Instagram, and her webpage. Go ahead and throw those out for everybody.
So I don't have a lot of social, but I do have a website. It's www.heather-buckley.com. And then my Facebook lookup is Heather Adams Buckley. That's about it. I keep it pretty low key here.
I'll link, of course, like I always do, onto the show, any of her stuff. So if you want to get a session with her after you hear all about her, you can just link on in, and your page has everything where they can schedule, correct, Heather?
Absolutely. Yes.
All right. Well, let's start where we met, because it was random, fun, exciting time.
It was a blast. So you go first.
We met through Paul, who was helping with some business consulting with my husband, and we were going to a Rangers game, and well, that's where it started. And that was that 10 years ago?
Easily.
Like,
yeah.
10, because Aiden was little bitty. So actually it was maybe about 12 to 14 years ago.
It's been a good bit. Yeah.
And you know how, like, when you just meet people and you click, that's how we were. Had a blast that evening and both found out that we were on the same kind of spiritual parallel lives. Like, we both are spiritual people. And yes,
you had your crystals in your bra. I mean, we were to that level in the first meetings, like whipping out the crystals from the bra.
I forgot about that. And then we were channeling back and forth, and like the whole time, there were so many things that were said in that introduction that have actually happened throughout the years. So it was a definite divinely guided relationship. I will say that for sure.
Absolutely.
All right. So we've kind of lived parallel lives in the sense that when I opened up Zenden, you were going through the whole Kundalini experience. So let's kind of start at that point.
Well, Lauren, you know, can I just kind of backtrack, because we have more in common than we've even discussed. Would you be interested in me kind of like, hey, we have so many things in common.
Yes.
Can I backtrack before the Kundalini?
Sister,
you know,
away.
Yeah. Take it on. Do it.
Take it on. Tell the world all of it. Bring it on.
So here's part of the thing that you and I have in common. You might not even know this. Okay.
Okay.
So I'm part Native American Indian, like you are,
yes.
Right? So my dad was American Indian, and I think like Blackfoot tribe.
Mm-hmm.
And you talk about that in one of your podcasts, right?
Yes.
That you're part Native American Indian. So we have that in common.
Yes.
And then I, back in my childhood, I had a Ouija board experience. And I think that I heard you reference a Ouija board experience.
Yes. When I was 13.
So I had one. And I, you know, I'm not going to say who was participating in the Ouija board with me, because I, you know, that. I'm gonna have some grace here. I'm gonna try to have a lot of grace today. But so it's a Ouija board experience. I was pretty young. I would say maybe 10, 12.
Mm-hmm.
And I bought into it hook, line, and sinker, because the people I was working with, that, I mean, it did move. It spelled out something, and it spelled out something that was like a European spelling of something. And I bought it hook, line, and sinker, only to realize later that it was, you know, contrived.
Yeah.
And so I had the one Ouija board experience, and I said, I am never doing that again, ever, because I felt tricked.
Yes.
Tricked. And so with me, that's something that I did want to bring up, is that with this work, this energy work and whatever, I am not a person to be tricked. Mm-hmm. I don't trick people. I don't want to be tricked, and I don't like that. And so that kind of put the beginning burner of my energy work, in that if this is real, it's gonna have to be proven to me in a real way. Like,
Yes,
I'm not playing around here, you know?
exactly. Wow, I didn't even know this. I love this. Thank you.
Yeah, it was super intense for me that it was like the ultimate betrayal because I believed it. And so many things in life, you know, we believe it because we are, it's either the dogma of our life, you know, in the training from our family or in the religion that we are brought up in. It's a cultural thing. It's a this, it's a that. And sometimes and often we find out that what we've been shown or taught isn't a truth. And so it burned me so bad that I'm the biggest skeptic on the planet
Same.
from that one experience with the Ouija board. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, but it's so true. I mean, it is so true because that is kind of the opening of like me finding my own spirituality and getting on this journey was for me that experience. So yes, and the skepticism that comes up with it from learning.
I was like, I'm never, ever gonna be that person again. That
I know.
fell for that so hard because I was in love with it. I was like, yes. Well, I was already intuitive. You know, I already was connected in and knew things, but I was too susceptible because I didn't have a filter of discretion. And so I felt so harmed, and it harmed me energetically, spiritually. It harmed me because I thought, what can I trust? What can I not trust? And so then I didn't even trust myself for a while after that because I trusted myself to believe that. And I did find out that it was, you know, trickery, foolery, whatever. You know, people can move the board around me. But I was like, who would do that? Why would you do that? I mean, is this, you know, why would you do that? So I didn't understand that people actually have other intentions. And so that also taught me that lesson in intention. What are your intentions? What are people intending? And my intention was truth. My intention was, is this real? Yes, of course it's real. Oh no. No. So very harmful. So I kind of kicked off into that, which was great. Hey, great learning tool for me, you know. Thrilled that that happened. But yeah, so that started that. And then we have something else in common.
What?
Oh, well, we have everything in common. But like you know, I went to church like kind of by myself as a kid. Like no one else in my family. We were Methodist, but I was the one always seeking, like, hey, I want to go to church. And no one wanted to go to church. Or so I would walk to church, joined the choir. I played trumpet for, you know, all the, I sang in the choir, the whole thing. And I, you know, I know that you were connected in like that. Like you had that calling to it, right?
Yes, so I grew up in the Episcopalian church and was the whole like altar girl. Episcopalians are like kind of like Methodists. We're considered Catholic lights, right? So, but still the ritualistic of church in itself. And yes, so I was very much a church girl and had abilities that you weren't supposed to talk about because, you know, people think you're crazy. So, I think during especially young adulthood, when I was really stepping in, I didn't understand. And even though my mom was extremely open and got me into yoga and meditation at an early age, I didn't really know how to communicate, like being able to see things before they happen, or, you know, being able to see people, not really see, but like, you know, the way that I channel is it comes through kind of like when you're a kid with one of those, what are they called? The little, you push it down and it's the next slide. So like that's how it pops in with me and has since I was little. I just didn't realize that that's what I was doing. You know what I mean? I just thought like it would be crazy if I told people. But then at a young age, I'd be like, oh, this, I'd have a dream and then it would happen. You know what I mean? And so I think,
Go ahead. Sorry.
well, church in itself was kind of an understanding that there was a higher being, something else was happening there, you know, for me. And it was like you were saying, I was one of the only ones in my family besides my mom that really wanted to go to church and like really wanted to learn. And that continues. I still, throughout my whole adulthood, am always wanting to learn theology, like the differences of Buddhism, the differences of Taoism, the differences of Christianity, and the similarities.
Right. You know, there are no differences. They're all to the one.
Exactly.
They're all to the one. Come on. We know that.
But as I've traveled and done it, like, I'm still so drawn to learn people's what makes them tick and how it makes them tick and their belief system. And so, yeah, I think it's just awesome. And me and you both have that similarity of trying to figure out where we, what our place was in the world with our gifts. To where
yeah,
crazy. You know what I mean?
When I was young, I would say 8 years old, I want to have grace in saying this because I don't want it to be interpreted in a way of what it's not. I literally didn't know that other people didn't know. I didn't know that. And so I questioned, like, how do you not know that? I really at one point thought, are people just stupid? Like, how do you not know? Because I didn't have a reference point of anything else. I didn't know that everyone wasn't having the same experiences that I was having. So
exactly.
I couldn't fathom in my mind how they didn't know. And no, it isn't stupidity or anything else like that. It was just, I how could I know that they didn't know?
Yeah, they just weren't open to it. They weren't.
Or it's not their, I don't even think it's that. I think it's, that's not their work.
Mm-hmm.
It's your work. You know, you're here to do your work, and not everyone is supposed to be open because it could destroy them.
Yeah,
not everyone is here for the purpose of connecting in certain ways. You're only supposed to connect in and how you're supposed to connect in. And that's your grand journey.
Exactly.
Figuring out your plug-in to the outlet of life.
Yes.
Or this relative existence, you know, which is just a blink of an eye.
Yes. And you know what's so funny is I always have, like, when people tell me that they can do everything, you know what I mean?
It's a, like, what is everything? Like, it can't even.
It's a huge red flag to me.
Like, I mean, everything. Wow. I'm going to have a lie down.
Exactly. But you know how it is in the spirituality world,
yeah,
especially. And with the studio, there's always these individuals that can come in and they do it all. And I'm like, how? Like, how does your energy work like that? It's like everybody has their own thing that they're bringing into the world in the different ways and beautiful ways. And
nobody. Well, and also I hear so often, especially where creativity is involved, and people say, I don't have a creative bone in my body. I don't have this. I don't have that. I'm like, you have literally everything. Creativity is not a one-way street. If you have a thought in your mind that you put together and you put anything together, you are by definition creative. Mm-hmm. So you have to stop thinking in these tiny little narrow, like being on the highway of life, these lanes that we're all trying to pass each other by on. It's like, it doesn't work like that.
No. Such an old paradigm way of thinking that I think
we're
really seeing. I mean, who would have thought that me and you, when we were 10 to 14 years of age, would be talking about spirituality to somebody all over the world? People all over the world right now are tuning in, listening to this.
Yeah.
That's not something that at that time was open. You know,
right.
Look how much.
It's still a little dicey now, you know.
It's still considered a taboo. But it's really started, people are really starting to open up to the different concepts of living and life and what you bring to the table and your gifts and abilities and what you're here to do, but that concept and how it's all rolling together. And I think in the next 10 years, we're really going to see that happen. You know what? Even more. It's pretty exciting, actually.
it's an amazing time to be right now. The fluidity of I do see it. You know how you see fish swimming underwater and they don't have to say a word to each other. They just kind of swarm in the direction of the flow. And I do think consciousness is moving in that direction more than ever, instead of being as chaotic as we've seen. And the resistance that we've seen, I think there's going to be some fluidity. I mean, really happening.
I am here for it, girl. I am.
Yeah, whew, I am too. All right. So I wanted to move into, if you don't mind, more that we have in common.
Oh, go for it.
Yeah. So all of your travels, your missionary work and stuff like that, like I've done quite a bit of that too. I went to India for a month with Paramahansa Yogananda's group, did like, it was a whole spiritual pilgrimage, and then went to Greece for like a sound healing certification, like did that for a month, and then went to Haiti and did a solar. We gave them, it was a whole village, like 800 families, but we did solar lighting for them because they have a black lung from kerosene and things like that. And so we went in and taught them how to start using solar energy and those types of things so that they're not having so many organic issues and dying from that. But you do all of your work through your travels, and you've always had that great interest, right?
Yes.
Isn't that?
Oh, yeah. Yes, yes, yes. So that was for the last 15 years what I was doing, all the way for hooking up my NFL and NBA players and friends with those kinds of self-sustainability living through Food for the Hunger.
Yeah.
Because I didn't realize that you were doing that. Who were you doing the solar living with, solar through?
So it's called Neighborly now, but it was the Dwyer Group at the time. And so, yeah, that company is all about giving back to communities and about all those kinds of things. And so I had the great honor of going on this mission trip with them. And I'm going to tell you something that changed my life all the way, all my spirit inner, been medium since I was a small child. But to go to a place like Haiti, that's only what, 2.5 hours, three by a flight. It's still not recovered from all that they have endured. And I mean, the government's an issue, and I won't get into all the intricacies of that because God bless. These are one of the most amazing experiences of my life because, I don't let the water run. I mean, there's no water. There's no electricity. There's no refrigeration. There's no comfort. There are no creature comforts. But I'll let you know what there is. The spirit of a people that is unbelievably spectacular and shining and glowing, a smile, a love and light of the heart, a continuing of education and betterment in spite of all of the governmental issues, all of the physical living conditions that are deplorable, of the hand that holds you down, those who are educated not being able to secure jobs with adequate pay. I'm going to tell you something that changed me.
Oh, 105%. India and Haiti were the two trips that I have taken that made such an impact on my soul. And you know, everybody says, "Oh, you went to help them." I think that they helped me. They helped me realize what life was really about. And actually, coming back has been is always hard for me because it's hard to come back to people who take life for such granted. When you're over there, you know, building. I did water towers, a lot of water, because they have to go up and down the mountain.
The water issue is crazy.
It's insane. It's insane. I've done.
And if you've never carried a bucket of water like these children are carrying,
it is an experience. I actually have on my one of my very favorite pictures is me. They thought I was crazy for wanting to try to do this, carry this 10-gallon bucket or 5-gallon bucket on my head. Not only is it one of the heaviest things I've ever tried carrying on my head, it's their water, and they're going up a mountain and down a mountain every single day, 2 times.
And I mean every drop.
Let's also say it's only the women and children.
It is.
It is literally only the women and children. And I was hiking up this mountain because I wanted to see what the experience was. And the lady in front of me had one leg and she was doing it on crutches. And she was the biggest reason why I did it was because if she could do it, I'm doing it. It was one of the most emotional things I've ever done, but one of the most, it made them so happy that somebody was actually coming, one, to help their community, but two, to be a part of it. Like, they just thought I was crazy for even wanting this experience. But yes, girl, like, Haiti has my heart. India, same way.
Me too, forever,
Yeah,
forever.
forever. Like, I know it is one of the most dangerous places to go. I haven't been back in 4 years, and I will return as soon as government will allow it, but we aren't allowed to right now.
Yeah, we were there when the elections happened, and we were very concerned with losing our lives, actually, because they were trying to break in to where we were staying, and there was a lot of prayer. Like it was a very dangerous situation,
It's
but.
dangerous and it's devastating, but spiritually, it showed me. I can't even put it into words, Heather. Maybe you can actually explain it.
Well, for me, there are so many lines that divide, and there are so many we contract these lives for certain things. We're supposed to have certain experiences and certain understandings, and then they're all to be shattered and to be broken apart and reconstructed, which is why I love to do mosaics. But it's that type of thing of where your paradigm and your understandings, they hit the ground. Because how can a place this close, right here, right, this isn't 9 hours away, this isn't 25 hours away by plane, this is right here, how can that be? And then yet we are. It to me, it just all the lines of everything I ever thought I knew were ruptured.
Yes. To where it kind of puts you into a depression when you came back. I would go over there and then come back for about 4 or 5 years, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And every time I'm having to kind of hermit in to recalibrate to living in the States and the attitude of people, because over there, you're sleeping on cots. You're
If you're lucky, yeah.
yeah, you're out and by
I
cot
mean the mosquito, the everything. They
mosquitoes.
don't have refrigeration. Like we go to the store every day. Most of us, a
So
lot of us, like.
happy, and they're singing and they're welcoming you to their community, and it was an experience that's hard to describe in words unless you've actually lived it, because you really can't grasp it to share the experience unless the person like you has been through it the same time, because it's wild. It is wild because it's also one of the most beautiful places I've ever been. The jungle of Haiti is incredible, and
It's
that's
unbelievable.
was right on the border of Haiti and Dominican. And then we would go over to Dominican, and it's like a totally different world, and yeah, that
So something interesting in India that has stayed with me, and my trip to India was 2013, so it's been like 11 years, something like that. But one of the most profound things that happened there, and again, I'll say I was on a spiritual pilgrimage. Like I was, there to really do some in-depth spirit work. And I went in somewhere, and one thing was interesting was that most people thought that I spoke their language. I wouldn't know why. I don't. But number two was there was a gentleman that had a conversation with me, and he said, we were talking about his circumstances, and I'd done a little bit of a reading for him, and he said, I will always have a smile in my heart. I will always have love in my heart. Will always be grateful because I did not come back as a dog. He didn't care what his circumstances were. He didn't care what he was in. He was grateful for the upgrade. in what he believed was his soul's progression. Like, just genuinely grateful that he didn't come back as one of the stray dogs that runs the roads in India. And I thought, this is so profound.
Inside of my body. Wow. That is incredible. Like, very profound. Because can you imagine that being, I mean,
that was the light and joy of his life, was that it was better than what he knew could be for him in his soul's progression in consciousness. That's what he believed.
Wow.
And it really made me stop and think, whoa, you know, what we believe has a lot to do with how we conduct ourselves in life.
Yes.
And so that gets us into the expansion of consciousness, and what are we doing here, and what is our contract, and how do we put all of these aspects into play?
Yes. So, what do you think, Ms. Heather? How has that worked with you?
Well, I mean, I've been in a lot of dogma. You know, I did Kundalini. We did speak of that there in my community of the Kundalini issue, and we'll put that to rest really quickly. A lot of great people. Don't regret it. I did about 20 years in that. I got my level 2 Kundalini, and then had to let that all go because there was a scandal with Yogi Bhajan. And, you know, it's all, I'm not here to judge anyone, and I'm not going to say one way or the other. I'm going to say I had to step out. Yeah. I had to step out. Me. That's it. There's no me or I, but you know what I'm saying. As this energetic experience in this reality, I could not be in alignment with that any further, because it just fundamentally didn't resonate with me anymore. And I didn't feel good about teaching it as it was taught to me and as was required to teach it by the entities that I had been in alignment with. So I did step out, and that was hard. It was really hard because I was just very committed to mantra, to the whole thing. I've been doing it about 20 years. So
doing it for so long, you were kind of like me in
this
world. And when you stepped away, I was stepping away for health. Yeah.
But that is the health, right? When you're not in alignment.
And I wasn't in alignment on health wise because of things that were happening behind the scenes there and that I wasn't okay with. So I completely understand.
And I deleted about 800 people in a day off Facebook, like social media. I just said, that's it, I'm done, that's it. And you know, that's a little drastic. I
expected from pretty much everybody that was in my spiritual circle after Zendin, because I was needing the healing, and I just wasn't in. Well, I'll just be honest with you. The whole voodoo hoodoo thing, I respect it. I love it. I don't resonate with it. It's not my practice. It's not something else.
Yeah. You know, we're just here to expand and
yes,
it's a beautiful process. I mean, I just can't be more grateful and thankful for the opportunity to be in these circles and then say, hey, you know, I'm ready to move into something else. It doesn't mean they're wrong or right or anything else. I mean, we have the luxury of discernment.
Exactly. And how beautiful that we have that luxury, that we can say, hey, this isn't resonating with us. I'm going to keep growing in my own spiritual realm of where I need to be. I think that is the most important thing that you should be able to do and say. You know what I mean? Like, you should be able to keep growing how you feel that you need to continue to grow without being judged or persecuted because of it.
Well, and also, you know, the judgment and the persecution is necessary because that's what fuels us to take a deep, long, hard look, cry it out, have our moment, you know, the mosaic of the being that just shattered to the ground when we say, oh my gosh, everything, you know, I believed is now not available. I don't even have any of my circle of two decades and you reposition yourself and you mosaic yourself into a better version of you.
I love that it's a mosaic. I love it because I can visually see it happening. You know what I mean? Like
we're constantly doing that. We're just redesigning ourselves over and over and over. And so we have to drop the judgment in it. Mm-hmm. We just say, oh, okay. Now we're going to be something else. Great.
Great. We're ready, universe. What are we going to be?
You know? I might need a minute, but great. Well, you know, mosaics aren't done in a day. Yeah. So it's going to take a minute. It's okay.
Exactly.
You have to redefine yourself. You have to redefine your boundaries. You have to redefine as you expand. It's no different than some days we take a shallow breath and some days we really need to take those deep breaths. And some days we do a breath of fire. And some days we're, I mean, they're just the judgment is what I think in the long run of the expansion of consciousness is that I don't really think we can judge it. I don't think we can possibly know what's what.
Yes, because, you know, everybody resonates with something differently. Like my world's different than your world. Your world's different than the next person's world. So when we learn to drop the judgment and live within yourself, I think that in itself is growth. That in itself is learning the transformation that is working for you and the reason why you are here.
And also that's why you're with the people you're with in your families and your jobs and your anything that you're in that involves others. There has to be room for people to have their growth, their expansion, their understanding. And it's hard because we're taught like, hey, you know, these are the ground rules, mm-hmm. but the ground rules change all the time.
They do. They do. I will say though, I do not like the whole like hexing of others like that. That's just too much for me.
Like, well, I will say this. If someone is hexing anyone, that just speaks to me on where they are in their level of enlightenment. And that would never be an issue for me because you can't hex me.
You can't hex me. Exactly. Exactly. Good luck. It's just going to go right back on to you because that's your own shit. It has nothing
to do. I would have to accept it. I don't accept that. I don't even think about that. Like, what? You can hex me till the cows come home.
Yes.
But it's not going to.
It's so true.
Like, okay. Sure.
The fear mongering is a thing. Like,
go for it. I mean,
that's in every religion, every spirituality. The one thing that I can attest to that I just cannot handle is the fear.
I don't have the fear. I'm like, go for it. I mean, I don't even know what you're doing over there, but you could certainly be using your time for better things than hexing people.
Like the fear.
Or, you know, putting a cursor. I don't know what you're doing, but.
I want to scream.
I have to accept it and believe it, by the way, like for it to work.
For it to even affect you. Exactly. You know, and. It seems, but you know, people think that they have a lot of power there. And
it's nonsense. It's never worked. It's never even worked. Like that. They worm into your mind, and then you believe it, and then you start doing the things that they, you know, you do it to yourself. Like
you start bringing on that negative energy, always constantly thinking or fearing that somebody's hexing you or somebody's out to get you. Like, can we just live in love and light? I mean, that's spiritual bypassing, but like that's my bubble. You know what I mean?
Oh no, you have to literally believe that that's a thing. It's not a thing. I mean, spirit doesn't allow that. Yeah, they really don't.
Let's just put that out there because I think that is something that's very important for people to hear, guys. Yeah. You have to believe that's going to hurt you for it to hurt you. Period.
Well, you actually start in what you believe. It's how you create your reality. It's what you believe about what's happening. If you believe that someone's put a hex on you and you believe that they are that powerful and they can do that, then you will start seeing what you believe. But it's not a thing.
No, it's not. It's
It's a lower level of vibration, you know, to that's unfortunate, but it's
also a
not a
very
thing.
egotistical thing. And if that is what you're surrounding yourself with, then you need to go inside and figure out why. No,
Well,
because
it's just a lower vibrational expression. Like anybody in the light that's wanting to do some good work, they wouldn't consider putting a hex.
they
Look,
wouldn't even think
we
about
don't need to put a hex on you. You're already helping yourself into whatever you're going into. If you're not doing the right things, you're already on your own path. We're just here to lift up. Like let's always be lifting. I mean, if someone, if they're in that energetic state of wanting to put a hex on you, they might not be your tribe.
that. Well,
That's all I'm saying.
they weren't my
Well,
tribe, but.
then they can't touch you. Here, I love to explain this. So the way that energy works, as my understanding, and look, I know everyone has a different interpretation, but as I know it, and I'll keep it at that, and that's not egocentric. It's just we can only pull from what is available to us. So all I understand is that energetically, we work like we work in grades. Like we're in elementary, we're in middle school, we're in high school, we're in college, we're in our PhD, we're in, God consciousness. We're in, I was certainly not in any of those realms. So the point is that you will naturally, birds of a feather flock together. You will naturally be in your energetic flow with others until it's time for you to not be.
Yes.
Now, can anyone put a f yeah they could try. I mean, but that's ultimately not what is here to happen.
No.
You're here to have your experiences, which, there's a contract. You do create a contract before you come here, and you're here to have these experiences. And there are going to be a lot of challenges because, hey, maybe a past life I had money struggles and that was the death of me. And I don't have them this time, but you have them. Well, I don't need to have that lesson. I already understand. So what's easy for me may be backbreaking for you. And what is unbearable for me could be like, you think, well, what's wrong with you? This is simple.
Yes.
We are here for the experience.
Yes, and it's each and yes. I
It's
love
individual. It's an individual
an
contract.
individual contract, and nobody can alter that. And I think that that's
And,
what people need to
well,
know.
you can alter it. You
You
can
do
alter it.
have control over it, though. Only you
Yeah.
can control. Outside sources can't alter your
That is correct.
experience. So don't ever give that power away, guys. Don't give that power to anybody. Just remember.
Well, and even so, I need everyone to remember this is so critically important that the people who are most challenging for you have agreed to do the work in that capacity for you. This is not against you. It's for you so that you will rise up into an understanding and you will elevate and move forward in your energetic experience. They are not here to go against you.
Yes, start looking at it like that. Start. It will put a totally different spin on the way that you live when you think of life that way.
Many things happen, and I could bring up example after example, but there are circumstances, not having a great mom or a great dad, or, and I'm saying that very casually and lightly because I could really get into some profound stuff of, feeling like your family is, I would never speak to that because I want to have grace within my own spectrum. But I would say many of us, I don't care what family you're in, you have your challenges and things feel unfair. They feel impossible. And sometimes they are impossible. Sometimes you're not supposed to work with a certain person. So take a look at you, do your work, and be thankful for the opportunity to have the vision of better.
Yes. Yes. I love this, Heather.
Wow.
It's so refreshing talking to you.
I've missed
I've missed you
you.
too. And you know, I love that our friendship is we're connected, but we don't have to be up each other's ass. You know, we're always doing our thing, and we always come together at these beautiful moments that it's like the universe just explodes.
Yeah. Well, we're always gonna vibe right. You know what I mean? Like,
I
just
love
gonna
that
keep
you're on
vibing.
here sharing it, and people can hear what I hear and the reason why I love you so much. And with that being said, let's lead into what you're doing right now, your business and what you.
All right. Yeah. So, what I'm doing, so I'm a naturopathic doctor. I did go ahead and do that, and master iridologist, master herbalist. I'm board certified. I'm a Reiki master. And I'm in business. I have a partner. So she does, we both do QHHT, which is quantum healing hypnosis technique, through Dolores Cannon. I don't know if any of you guys are interested in that, but that's kind of like past life regression. We do, but I kind of take it in a different spin. She does the past life regression. I really don't prefer to do that because when I go in the session, I actually go with you. It's like I'm traveling with you through all of your stuff, and it's a little different, so I try to kind of stay out of that. But I offer like Zytoscans, which is a galvanized skin reaction type test where it's a biofeedback type thing, readings, those kinds of things. So that's the practice now. That's what we do. We offer, we have a couple of offices, and mainly, you know, the focus is on how do you get your inner terrain, whether that be physical, mental, spiritual, energetic, all the components, everything that is all the levels of consciousness with the subtle and relative combined. How do you get everything into some sort of balance if you feel like, yeah, things are kind of wompy for you? We kind of give a little bit of guidance with that best that we can, and we, you know, always speaking with spirit and letting you tap into you. You tap into you. I think that's the biggest thing, is like the best thing you can do for a person is let them see who they are through their own eyes, not through my filter, not through my understanding. It's just giving that light to say, hey, you know, spirit says this, but what do you think about this? How are you functioning in this? How is your body responding to this? How is your mind in alignment with this? Or is it not? And then moving it from that direction. So we kind of do that. And I'm currently in my second year of my master's degree in consciousness and human potential, and then I'm getting a PhD in Vedic sciences on top of that. So I'm just all into, like you said, with theology and with the dogmas and the understandings of all of these different things. But the bigger picture is consciousness. And what are we doing to each other? What are we doing to ourselves? And ultimately, what is the end goal for all? Because we are connected. What you do affects me, and what I do affects you, whether I realize it or not. That's that. And so that's the practice, is like, how are you? How am I? How are we part of this rising up?
Okay, so let's start with that. How do you think people should really, what is one thing that you think people should be doing internally right now? Like,
Meditating,
that's
whatever it is.
always my answer.
Well, there's so many, but so people get caught up in it because they go, I can't quiet my mind. I can't.
I don't know how. I don't know how to meditate.
But there are so many different ways. So there can be mantra, there can be stillness, there can, like right now I'm in transcendental meditation, and it's just a different aspect. I've done mantra for 20 years, which you know, hey, it's all beautiful. It's your energetic experience in the moment as to what will speak to you. Maybe you need a frequency, a certain frequency to change your energetic expression. So there are many modalities of meditation that are appropriate and available. And it's just going to take some exploration to know what is right for you in the moment. It's not a one thing fits all scenario type thing. You have to kind of explore and see like, hey, when I'm feeling like this, I need this. When I feel like that, this is my go-to. When I'm sleeping and I can't go back, here's this, right?
Yes. Yes. And you're an avortic. I can never say this word correctly. I don't know why. It's like it doesn't flow through my mouth correctly. Healthy eating. You want to
vegan? I mean, vegan doesn't mean you're a healthy eater at all. And by the way, spirit doesn't care. That's an interesting thing, right? Do you want me to tell you what spirit said about that?
Yes, please. That's where I was leading to is what are your thoughts and what are spirit's thoughts on?
Okay. So yeah, what spirit told me, cause I was, you know, in a deep meditation, I was asking spirit and I said, you know, I've been like vegan for 11 years. And again, I will say just cause you're vegan doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean you're an activist. It doesn't mean that you're healthy eating. It doesn't mean, look, don't categorize something and think that you're doing something. You should be doing your practices for your internal terrain, for your expression of what makes you better in the process of dealing with others in the relative and in the subtle realms of being. It's not because someone thinks something or you're expressing in hopes of. I'm vegan because I have a couple of conditions that for me, I have an essential tremor. That's something I'll share. It's kind of a neurological, a CNS thing. And so for me, I was exploring avenues that would help that because it's a congenital issue. And so I said, I'm going to give it a year. Let me just go and see, and let me stick to this and see. Well, so then I talked to spirit about it after, you know, I made it the whole year, and I also had to really dig deep a couple of times, but I made it through. And I said, spirit, so like, hey, yeah, I'm vegan now. And isn't that great? And they're like, yeah,
sure.
Sure. For you. And I said, well, wait a minute. You know, like I'm not killing it. I'm not an activist in it, but I'm not killing animals anymore. I'm not this. I'm not that. And they said, okay. And I said, well, wait, hold on. I mean, for spiritual evolution, isn't this like the thing? And they said, it cannot be viewed that way. That isn't the reason for it. Mm-hmm. And so we have to not be attached to what we think these things that we do. There are people who have rituals in their religions and in these ritualistic things that you get into. You better be very careful of why you think you're doing them.
Yes. Agreed.
Is it good for you? Perhaps. Is it good for another? Perhaps not. It depends on what they believe about what they're doing.
Yes.
So spirit said, it doesn't mean that you are elevated or that you're doing something magnificent. It just means that it is right for you.
You're listening to your body.
Well, and you're listening to your conscience, whatever that's telling you at the same time. So it's what you believe about what you're doing.
I love that. I love
that. Because I was like, hey, am I not getting a 10 out of 10 over here?
Where's my little gold star?
I know. Wait, you know, in the spirit. I was stunned. They said, yeah. I go, well, so people are eating meat and doing whatever. And they said, if it's appropriate for them, it's appropriate for them.
I wonder if that's journey. Why sometimes, well, we'll get into that. I don't think everybody else wants to listen to my crone story, but I wonder if sometimes the reason why my body reacts to different things at different times, because I'll be just fine. And then all of a sudden I'll have a reaction. I wonder if that's just what I'm needing or not needing at that time.
It's always about that. And it's making you, you know, you're paying close attention to the signals. So if something's not resonating within the body, is it the food? Is it the emotion when you have the food? Is it the circumstances around the food? Or is it not the food at all? Maybe it's all the other things and you're not able to digest. You know, a lot of times it's just, what are you not able to digest in life?
Yeah, that's so true. I feel, okay, so we're going to have you back on because I want to talk really about food and gardening and the naturopath side of it. Like that's a whole different conversation.
Yeah.
To have. Oh, right. So you are definitely coming back on.
Yay!
Rather than later, just because there's just so much that we can delve into. And, but let's keep on going on just who you are and the spirituality side and your offerings. And what has been your biggest lesson so far in this journey?
Okay, so I would say my biggest lesson in this journey is rumination. We have to stop ruminating about things. And I have a visualization that I do, and I'd like to share it if anybody's interested, maybe, because it helps me. But I started learning that if we're just having these patterns just circulating, because, you know, energy is constant movement. Like it's never going to, we always are, always was, always will be. And so there is a cycle of all things, but our thoughts can tend to really wreak havoc on our energetic expressions, our being, our organic experience, all of these things. And so one of the things I started doing was in my mind, I do a lot of visualizations and I teach visualizations. I teach meditation. I teach all that kind of stuff. But the main one that I personally do is I pack a backpack and, you know, in my mind's eye of the things I ruminate about. I just pack them in as tight as I can energetically. It's just like, okay, yeah, I've been thinking about that nonstop for this one is really taking me down. Let me put that one in. Let's put that down low. Let's put it at the back. We're going to put our water bottle in there because this could be a long hike, but you know, putting all these things in. And so I pack them all in, like my worries, my fears, my anxieties, my concerns, the things that just tend like a tornado to swirl around in the being, right? Because if they're not in the mind, they're in the stomach, they're in the organs, they're in, you know, they're in your realm. Like if you're not thinking about them, they're hitting you from someone else in your energetic circle.
Yeah.
And so I pack them all up in the backpack, the things that I can identify. Some I can't, but you know what I can, and pack them up. And in my mind's eye, I go into, you know, I think of someplace like in Utah or someplace like that, into the canyon. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, I could see the gold and the rusty, and it's all, you know, the terrain is just, it's dry, and it's these cliffs and bluffs and all these kinds of things. And I see myself walking, and it's just dusty and it's dry. And I'm looking for a place where I can put the backpack where no one else will find it. I don't want anyone else to find the backpack because I don't want them to unpack it. I don't want them to have these energetic experiences. So I put it in a place I find that's hidden away that no one will find it. Mm-hmm. And I just put the backpack there and then I leave it there and I go on. And I know that if I need to come back, I can come back to it, but I'm going to leave it. And so in my mind, that's what I do with a lot of, you know, things that I feel like aren't serving me.
Oh, I love that. I love that. That's
and that way you don't have to have anxiety about leaving things behind if you're not comfortable, because you can always revisit. You know exactly right where they are.
Where your backpack is.
But leave them in the backpack there for a while. Just let them be there.
Oh, thank you so much, Heather, for sharing that with us. That's beautiful. That I really like the backpack.
And then you know what's beautiful? If you decide that that backpack, you're not coming back for it, in your mind's eye, you can allow it to just biodegrade and become something better for someone else. And when it blows into the wind as it disintegrates, it's only nurturing and bringing light and love as it is moving through the canyons. It's all for the betterment. It doesn't have to be a negativity. It doesn't have to be something unbearable or unspeakable. You can leave it there and allow it to do its natural progression back in. Everything recycles. There's no breath that hasn't ever been breathed before. There's no water that hasn't ever been here before. So it's always part of that process.
Oh, thank you for sharing.
Yeah.
All right. One more question. One more question, then we'll wrap up.
All right.
What would you say to somebody who is going through something similar right now? Let's say they're not. What would you say to somebody who came into your to get a service or get a reading? Mm-hmm. What is one thing you would tell them moving forward if they are just now, quote unquote? I don't really like to use the word awakening per se, but stepping into their higher self.
Okay. I would tell them, go easy. Go easy on yourself. Like there can be uncomfortable moments in expansion. It's no different than when you're growing. They call it growing pains, right? We all have them. Go easy on yourself. Do things that would be considered taking care of yourself. Have a little patience with yourself. Hold space for yourself as you would hold for others. When you have compassion, I do think about the element of compassion and how, you know, you can hear something happen to someone and all of a sudden you have this just deep, overwhelming compassion for them. Have that for yourself. Have that moment of, like, I'm hurting. I'm aware. I'm struggling. Have the compassion that someone would have for you if they knew the truth of the entirety of you and your story and what you've been through and how you've overcome your obstacles and your challenges, and take that moment for yourself in a very kind and loving way. I would also say everything is perfectly in its divine timing. You are okay. It is okay. Even when you feel like everything is shattering before you, you are okay. It will be okay. And you are not alone. You are never alone. Spirit has your back. The universe has your back, and you were smart enough to design this experience in your highest good and for a favorable outcome. So have trust in that.
Ooh, and so it is. Thank you.
Maktub.
Thank you.
You know, maktub means so it is written, and so it is.
And so it is. Thank you, Heather. What a beautiful place to stop this conversation.
All right.
We will definitely be having you back on the show. Thank you again for jumping on with us. This was incredible. I love you so much. I'm so honored to have you on. So thank you guys for listening to Get Enlightened with me, Lauren Scott, and thank you, Heather, for being on.
Deepest gratitude, and love you, and thank you, and we'll chat again.
Absolutely. Bye.
All right. Namaste.
Namaste.